Verse 1, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. That's a great statement. My intention in speaking to you is so that you will not fall away. We have a robust doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Jesus is not letting his sheep fall away.
We are a curious lot, are we not? It's easy for us to fear. In fact, there are times we will find things to cause us to be afraid. And yet Jesus says, what are you afraid of? Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us to John chapter 15, in verses 26 through chapter 16 and verse 15, as we take a look at Jesus' approach to our fearful tendencies. Oh, it's a marvelous passage to consider. Join us as we do so together. Here's Pastor Chris, today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them this morning, to the Gospel of John, the very end of chapter 15. You'll remember last time that we considered the hatred of the world, and that there is a great instruction given to us here about the world's hatred of the Christian that Jesus gave. And immediately following that explanation of that, he breaks into a teaching about the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's really important to see that as a connection, where he said in verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And rooted in that hatred now of the world against the Christian and against the work of the Lord, he applies and gives us the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pick up at the end of chapter 15, verse 26, and read through verse 15 of chapter 16. I have to say before I read, this is my favorite passage in John. This is just wonderful. I know I say it, but I mean it this time. It is fabulous. I can't believe I get to preach this today. Okay, let's read and give our attention at John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And there ends the reading of God's word. The theme that we keep coming across here that is embedded in this teaching of Jesus as he's preparing his disciples for his absence is that they really can do nothing without the Lord's help and without the Lord's strength. And that's something that we struggle with. That's something that we don't believe like we should. We don't have the power to make it through this life on our own. We don't have that strength. There's absolutely nothing that we can do to uphold ourselves. That is the overwhelming message. Jesus already said it in chapter 15. Without me, you can do nothing. That means nothing. When tragedy or death comes, like it did in the past few weeks, the people who mourn do not have the strength in themselves to get through it. They don't. With all the opposition that happens in the world, if things go the way that it could, there's no way we could get through it. That's why it's always challenging to talk about somebody like Polycarp who said, go ahead, send me the lion. Because I don't have the strength to go do that. Neither did he. We don't have the strength and we don't have the power. And yet we forget this basic point each and every day. And the result of it is that often we get up every morning and without that sense of real dependence on the Lord, one of the first things we should do getting up out of bed is acknowledge the Lord before our foot hits the ground and say, let me go in your strength today. But we have all our plans and all our ideas. And rarely do we think much about him as we're going through all of this, how he upholds our lives. What we have to have is a fresh understanding of the strength that we have in this life is something that is given to us to lead a life that's meaningful at all. It's a strength that's given to us from heaven. And that is what Jesus is doing for us and explaining for us in John chapter 16 now. He is explaining how we are going to be, as we've been looking, kept in his absence. He's explaining how we are going to have real and abiding help when he leaves the earth. He is giving us the answer. And now the answer that he has been working to and everything has been building to in the Gospel of John is now given today in this particular text. It should have the effect, by the time we're done, of making us stand a little stronger and stand up a little taller to this great truth that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that should be a great encouraging message for us today. I want to look at this morning by looking at you'll notice here in this first section, the disciples' sorrow and concern about the statements of Jesus regarding the future. They're scared. They're fearful. And then Jesus' help, he explains to them to help them to know how they're going to fulfill their mission here. But not just about their mission. The help he's going to give them so that they are strengthened themselves as they go through this. We're continuing here in this passage to look at Jesus preparing his disciples for his absence. So if you notice here in chapter 16 at verse 1 is the link and transition between Jesus' discourse about the hatred of the world and his help in leaving us here, also captured in 26 and 27, which we'll refer to. But notice verse 1, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. That's a great statement. My intention in speaking to you is so that you will not fall away. We have a robust doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Jesus is not letting his sheep fall away. And the way he's not letting his sheep fall away is about to be explained to them. And so he says all of these things, and it's important because he's summarizing now the things he has been saying. Everything I'm telling you, I'm saying to you has a goal. I don't want you stumbling. Now remember, we looked at last time, there's a certain kind of hearer in the kingdom. There's a certain kind of a soil in the kingdom that when persecution or tribulation comes because of the word, remember that in the parable of the soils, because of it, they fall away immediately. Jesus described that. What they signed up in Christianity, what they signed up for was not Christianity. When they came to Jesus, they didn't really want to follow Jesus. They didn't listen to what they were joining. And I think it should go without saying that the prosperity gospel in America that has been so prevalent that has taught that if you're a believer, God will prosper you financially, and you'll never have any pains and any amount of suffering. And if you do go through those things, that's evidence that you have a lack of faith is the very stuff that will not hold up for what is about to come. It's tied to the falling away of what is said by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first. I think you're going to see a lot of that in this country. And in the ideas and the thoughts that have been maintained, that people have been taught that it's all about living to the fullness and having the best life now theology. That just can't endure. It can't endure persecution. That idea can't endure persecution. Now, Jesus made it very clear that we are united to him, and because we are united to him, because by faith joined to him, there is now an automatic enmity, an antithesis, if you will. The most despised antithesis in the church today is the antithesis that Jesus describes here between the Christian and the world. An antithesis ordained. An antithesis that is a rewarded fruit of election. Because I have chosen you, therefore, you are hated. That's what election has brought to you. That's your reward of it in this life. You're identified with me. You belong to me. And this helped the apostles, as we looked last time, to get through all their hardships, that when they were brought in front of councils and they were beaten for the name of Jesus, remember in Acts, beaten for the name of Jesus, they went out rejoicing that Jesus would consider them worthy to suffer for his namesake. That kind of perspective we need again. It's a really powerful one. And Jesus now at this point is addressing this, this antithesis of the hatred of the world. And in a general point, he says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they hate me, they will hate you. I confronted them about sin. John 7, remember? They hated me for it. That will be true about you also. But now at this point, Jesus gets a little more specific. Look at verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. Now here's what's going to happen. Because you're a follower of me, says Jesus, you will be thrown out of worship services. You'll be unsynagogued. Now that happened already, remember? In John chapter 9, they unsynagogued him, that man who was born blind and Jesus helped. They cast him out of the synagogue. This is just what's already happened in John. You will be excommunicated from the social and the religious life of Israel. Your friends will no longer speak to you at times. Family members will disown you at times. Burials will be dishonored. And ultimately, they might even kill you for me. Now, I'm not really excited about preaching this today. Really. Look at how we live. Look at how we live. These are the passages we read, and we just hope it was for the disciples. But it's not so. In the history of the Christian church, this has been proven. We see how prevalent even the prosperity ideas is in Reformed churches today, that this is not the sort of stuff we want to listen to. This is the stuff that we could just set aside like the bad-tasting medicine in the cabinet. But hear Jesus and contemporize what he just said for a moment. Remember, Jesus is looking at the religious community of faith. A time will come, if you're following me, that you will be scoffed at. Among the people of faith, you will be attacked at, attacked over what you believe is truth. You will be excluded from religious and social events, from people. Your friends and family may disown you. Some may rather see you dead. And they'll think they're doing God a favor. That's remarkable statements by Jesus. Can you imagine hearing that? Now notice the heart of this. Jesus is saying the reason is they don't know me. They don't know me. There are a bunch of people today in churches that don't know God. This is what Jesus is saying. This will happen. And the reality is, as we looked at last time, with the wicked positions of the world and the culture that's now being accepted inside the church, who do you think's going to do this? Anyone who has a conviction on anything today is the one who's not appreciated. And we see that today, that they scoff at religion. Jesus said these things, the exclusive claims. Think about saying today this truth. Just this is an easy one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through me. We fought this one for a long time. Who accepts that today anymore? And where? There's all kinds of roads to heaven. We've been writing and talking about this for a long time. We fought that battle. Now it's getting a little more complex as the church has invited the culture in. Now they're saying, no, 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 the way of happiness is you will accept whoever I want to marry. You will accept however I define myself. If I want to be a man and I'm a woman, that's my business. You think this is going to be easy in the future to say sorry? That's not biblical. You see it. You see it. All the stuff that's flooding in, and we're not united in standing against it. Because many people who don't know the Father and the Son are accepting it. This will be normalized. Now, this is not exciting. I admit, this doesn't feel like encouragement, does it? You may be hated and you'll be killed, maybe. You understand Jesus saying that when you became a Christian, this could happen? Well, I don't want to think about it. But if you could be in the shoes of the disciples for a moment, it must have been really exciting the whole time to walk around with Jesus in the ministry, to have him at the forefront. think about having Jesus himself walking in front of you, taking all the hits. I'd be bold. I mean, there's my hero. There's my champion. Yep. I'm standing with him. But then Jesus says, I'm going away. You're doing what? Imagine the fear that hit them. I mean, they felt untouchable with Jesus. Well, I would love today to have Jesus walking with us on the earth. He could deal with all this stuff, right? Nobody's going to mess with him. But now he just said, I'm going away. Verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? Why are you going there? Because I said these things to you, here's what's happened to you. Sorrow has filled your hearts. You know, whatever you felt hearing this right now, that sort of made you go, oh. Imagine hearing it that day. It just put them in the doldrums. I mean, they just felt major sorrow and discouragement that they're going to have to face this. I mean, it must have been amplified 100 times for them when you have Jesus standing right in front of you and he's taking the hits. You know, you kind of feel this today a little bit. You get a little sense of the disciples today. What's happening right now? We've been so accustomed to religious liberty and protections. We've had a wall around us. It's really been wonderful. You know, a wall of protection that has been given to us constitutionally in this land and all these things. That is a wall that has been given to us so that we can practice, and we have felt safe. We have felt untouched. We have felt that no one can mess with us. And I've often wondered if that's made us just a little bit more relaxed, not standing for things the way we should. That wall's coming down. That wall's coming down. It's exactly what's happening right now. The wall of protections for us to exercise our religion in this country is coming down. So now what? Well, Jesus was their wall. Jesus himself was their wall. I'd take Jesus over the Constitution, by the way. Jesus challenges them. You should be asking about where I'm going, what that means for you. I really want you to ask that. I really want you to think about that, but you're not. You're so filled. You're so full of fear. I'm saying all these things to you so that your joy would be full. Remember he just said that? I want you to have joy in this life. Jesus had said these things so that they would not be made to fall away. By the way, that's exactly what a true prophet did. The false prophets in Israel always said, oh, don't worry about anything. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's all love. Is Jesus saying that? I'm telling you this because I love you. And because I'm not going to let you fall away, you need to know what you signed up for, what I called you to, actually. Look carefully at verse 4. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So translate, I'm now telling you because you're ready. You know, in many ways, they're sort of in the Christian faith, spiritual infancy, and then under the right conditions, at the right time, we can hear things for the first time. Aren't you, perfect example, doesn't your world, your home is not of this world sound a lot better now than it did 10 years ago? Doesn't I've prepared a place for you sound a lot better now than it did? Sometimes our Christianity is so circumstantial, isn't it, to the things we face, death, sorrow, suffering, changing world. We can now be prepared to hear things for the first time. And this is where I think what's happened, that they're now ready to hear this. They're ready to be taught in this. They're ready to receive it. I've seen this the whole ministry. It's remarkable. I know there's some people who mark in their Bibles when the pastor preached this text and this sermon, and they always know when he did that because he shouldn't do it again. And I always thought, no, I should do it again because you're going to hear it differently the next time. I promise you. But I always rework them. I want you to know. Listen to this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Verse 7. It is to your advantage that I go away. You've been fighting this the whole time. You tried to stop me, Peter. Where's he going? What's he talking about going away? In John's gospel, that always means the cross. It's to your advantage that I'm going to die and going to be resurrected. Why was it so necessary? Because I'm going to go achieve for you salvation. I'm going to go achieve for you forgiveness. I'm going to go secure your place in heaven. And I'm going to go, the favor of the Father. He's about to say in John 16, I'm going to finally, you need to understand, and you're going to understand the Father loves you. All of this is going to happen through my going away.
The benefits of Jesus leaving and allowing his Spirit to return on his behalf.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Pastor Chris will be back here in just a moment to close out our program with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start. agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small, no gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. As promised, once again now, to close out the broadcast with a look ahead tomorrow, here's Pastor Chris.
Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you in all the truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will tell you the things to come. He's going to minister to you the word of God constantly and keep you and uphold you in that truth so you never fall away. That's the work of the Spirit. And the Father and the Son sending the Spirit with the purpose of making known Christ. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, I said this was my favorite section to preach, but now I found my favorite verse. The Spirit is going to take what is Christ's. Stop. What is Christ's righteousness that far exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Everything that is good and right of Christ's word and how we find a righteousness before God by which we can stand. And he will, if you had some knowledge of the Greek here, you'd see it. He will evangelo it to you. He'll preach the gospel to you. That is the word for the heralding of the gospel to you. He's been doing it for you your whole lives. It's future active. What that means is when he comes, he's going to constantly be keeping you in the truth and herald the good news about Jesus to you.
That's tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.